Ohio.
Hi.
Hi to everybody out there. It's Unfixed. We're back.
Great to be back after this totally planned hiatus.
Yeah. You know, you had a surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
You had a surgery you had to do, and that's understandable.
That's right. I had to replace my funny gland.
It was elective surgery. And after your elective surgery and subsequent recovery, we're back. And we haven't done a show since the Halloween episode, Toby, which was it's on October
2018.
Here it is, the 12th of April, and we're back. We're here. We're here to be with you and to celebrate this time together in the last days of the Empire. These end times.
Yeah, and this show today really brought to you by utter mayhem. Like, usually it's a bit of chaos here behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But we've had, like, you know, we got a real technological feat in the show.
Yeah.
So we've had, like, basically James Cameron's whole crew here setting up this aquatic wonderland that we have coming
Indeed.
Up.
And that's in a segment, Toby. That is in a segment that's coming up. And let's tell the listeners what segments we have coming up.
Yeah,
in
I was just building
show.
Up a little bit of hype here, just sort of foreshadowing.
Yeah, it's in a segment that's coming up later on the show.
Yeah,
And then this is, as we like to say here on Unfixed, once again, thank you for tuning into Unfixed. I am Adam Jensen. I am here with none other than...
Toby Hallam.
Toby Hallam is with me. And we are going to get into it. We've got a lot to get through. We've got an amazing interview with none other than Damian Abraham of the band Fucked Up and host of Turned Out a Punk podcast. That occurred after a show. They came and played in Dublin. Fucked Up played, and I was able to corner Damian in the back room, and he provided an interview, and we'll be playing that for you a little bit later in the show. Other than that, we've got the segments you've come to depend on to give your shallow, meaningless life a tiny bit of color.
That's right. All the wonderful things that we're so used to, and we're going to bring you more. More.
Indeed.
Bigger.
For example, I'm just going to throw one out there. We have Pet Sematary.
Pet Sematary.
This is about visiting the Pet Sematary in order to spend some time with the memory of a pet that is no longer around.
And anybody who's sort of younger than about 20 years old, this is now relevant again because there's a new Pet Sematary movie.
There's a remake of the film Pet Sematary, which I haven't seen yet. I plan on doing so.
We got the publisher as well.
Oh, I have a voicemail from my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher. He is, he leaves me voicemails. I don't pick them up and I save them so I can play them here on the show. And I've got one. We've also got the scary news. This is news of the strange and terrifying that's coming up. We've also got the Southeast Ireland update.
Yep. I love that crinkly paper and all of the wonderful news that it brings.
Yes. You know, a lot's transpired in the southeast of Ireland since October and April here.
What? So, it doesn't just shut down for the winter.
It does not. So, you know, over the winter, there's been quite a bit has happened, and I've got the all you need to know, because if you go down to, say, the southeast of Ireland, and people, you know, you say you go to a pub, and people are like, hey, did you hear about blank, right? And you're like, absolutely not. But if you're an Unfixed listener, you're like, hell yeah, I know all about that.
In fact, I can tell you just one fact more about that.
Yeah, I have, in fact, a deep insight into what's been going on down here in Southeast Ireland, which I'm very happy to be.
All those junk food wars.
What other segments are coming up?
I think we're going to go for a walk.
Okay, yeah, we go for a walk. That's when we take the show to the people, take off the headphones, get out of the constraints of the mics and you know, strapped here in the studio, and take the show to the folks as opposed to... We take it physically to them, confronting people with the show out in public.
yes, in a very honest and open way.
And sincere, this is a good one. It's very, very brief, however.
Did we also talk about, I was foreshadowing it, did we talk about the shower talk?
Oh my God. So Toby mentioned, yes, that we're going into parts unknown, first time ever in radio history. We're going to have a live on-air shower with Pierre Breton.
Inside the showering fancies of a Frenchman.
And he's going to shower live on the air. And we're also going to see if he can determine what these shower gels are supposed to be doing.
So it's a bit of a game.
Yeah, so there's these three shower gels. They profess to provide certain kind of qualities when used. And he's going to kind of go in blind. We poured them into plastic cups. And he's going to take those cups and see if they do what they say on the tin or in this.
This consumer information straight to you. You can't learn about this in the major newspapers or any
publication.
Radio show.
It is exclusive to us, and we're doing that today. Andrea Lorien is going to be calling in. I'm going to call her more accurately, and she's going to do her 90 seconds of mind business.
Yep. And we had, well, you had a new idea for a segment. Mm. And you said, I got this idea. And then you described it to me. Uh-huh. And I said, fuck is that?
Yeah. So I think we're going with, it's called Fuck Is That. And it's when I play an audio recording that I've recorded in person. So it's, I don't just go on the internet and get some sound and play it. No, I have to go with my whatever I've got handy to record with. Go with whatever I can and record it live. So I've stood in front of this thing that's making this sound. And, you know, you got to be ready for that. And you're going to try to guess it, Toby.
Yep. I got the special headphones on so I can hear great depth.
They have an LED that blinks, so you'll be able to hear really, real good. You brought a piece of dark history.
I did bring a bit of history to sort of talk about.
We call it the Dark History Corner.
The Dark History.
I think that's everybody.
Yeah, that's what I can see on my list there.
Yeah, that's everybody. So as we do, buddy, how are you doing? Let's just do a real quick check in. How are you? How have you been over the past 5 months?
Ah, I've been doing all right. It's the weather has been, well, it's been shit because it's been winter, but I've been out starting to run. I foolishly signed up for a marathon. Half a marathon.
Half, okay.
Yeah, right after New Year's, I'm like, I'm going to make a change in my life.
Right.
And so now, essentially, it's
you're a runner.
Basically guilt and shame that keep driving me out into the fucking cold running, which I hate.
Uh-huh. That just makes
every
sense.
Other day.
Every other day.
Yeah.
When are you going to show up and punch the clock?
What?
What's wrong with dailies? You got something better?
No, apparently it's bad for your knees if you run every day. Like, you gotta heal up a little bit.
I have a bit of bad news. Yeah, it's bad for your knees to run a lot anyway. So, like, the running association's like, tell them every other day.
I think the whole sport is basically designed to make me unhappy and damage me in the long term.
And maybe lose a bit of weight, though, in the process. And make some real friends. And that's the whole point of that whole thing, ain't it?
Well, making friends, I don't know. I mean, do you run with people? No one's going to be running at exactly the same speed as you.
If you can't, at the end of this event, say it's the friends we made along the way, then it's bullshit, and I don't want you taking part. In fact, I'm vetoing it right now.
All right, that's it. Did you hear that out there? Great North Run, take me off the list.
Over. And they do listen.
Yeah.
We know that they listen.
They're on the Twitter.
We've got so much to do. I don't know where to start. As usual, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go for a walk. We talk to my publisher. You know, you like to hear about the Southeast Ireland.
I do like to start off with a little bit of the newspaper. I start off my day reading the news, and it's so depressing. But in Southeast Ireland, things are not depressing at all. Things are amazing.
Okay. That's one spin on this. The other one is that, you know, like anywhere else, it's got a mixed bag of good things and bad things. But most of it's newsworthy, man.
Yeah.
So, as I said, five months of news from the southeast of Ireland.
All compressed into a single second.
Yeah. It's compressed into a single segment. And we like to call this the Southeast Ireland Update. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's it.
I have here in my hands the latest issue of what do we got this time? This is the Wicklow People. And, it's fresh. As I said, 5 months worth of stuff this time.
Mm.
So we have to condense it down into something that you can, you know, put into a radio segment here on Unfixed that the listeners can actually palate. Because they don't, you know, they have the attention span of a parakeet.
Sort of 45 seconds, something like that.
So we tried to condense that, this bad boy down. And we're ready to go. So the curators have come up with what you need to know from what's happened in the southeast of Ireland. We're going to get into it. Here we go. All right. So tell me the headline is. Hold on, I'm going to wait for the break just because you know I like it so much. I don't think it's even here. So here we go. We're ready. So, folks, what's been happening in the southeast of Ireland, I'll tell you. Ride on lawnmower stolen from garage.
Oh, my shit.
A garage. What do they say in Ireland? The garage.
Garage?
The garage. So a ride on lawnmower was stolen from a garage. The Gardaí are looking for an assistance from the public after a ride-on lawnmower was stolen in Glenealy.
So they're not having a lot of luck, the guards.
I don't know. They're looking for assistance.
Please, anyone help?
They're going around saying, "Can you help? Can they have a cup?" They're shaking a cup and saying, "Can you help us?" A garage at a private residence was broken into sometime between Friday, August 3rd and Tuesday, August 8th. This doesn't even fall within the span of 5 months that we missed.
They were out.
That's a shame. And the ride-on lawnmower, which had been being stored in the garage, was stolen.
Mm.
If anyone noticed any suspicious behavior, during these dates. And Glenealy, you're a little behind. We're sorry. The flow of news doesn't exactly come up by goddamn, you know, by lightning speed, like, you know, DSL or high-speed cable, two gigabyte transfer speeds.
No, a homing pigeon or some shit.
It's printed on paper, and it has to make its way up by courier. This took a while. So if anyone has any information, this is probably still going on. You can still get involved with this. Call the Guardian. Yeah.
Say if you see someone driving ride-on mower around.
Call the Guardian. If anyone has noticed suspicious behavior during these dates or in Glenealy or has been offered the chance to purchase a ride on a lawnmower.
See, that's the cops doing their job. That's insight. Someone might have sold it.
Wait, no, not a ride on a lawnmower. A ride on lawnmower. If you've been offered to purchase a ride on lawnmower, not a ride. The guy has a sign that says ride. Rides on lawnmower, 3 euro. Under any dubious circumstances, you should contact Wicklow Garda Station at 040-467-107. Ladies and gentlemen, that is all you need to know that's happened up until right at this present moment in the Southeast.
Wow, so jam-packed with a number of things that happened in the last
five months.
If
someone offers to sell you a ride on a mower.
Unless he has a license to do such a thing.
Call the Guardie from your mobile and get the guy busted.
Yep.
Get him busted. Okay, we got a lot to do.
We got a lot to do. But I'm glad now. I'm ready to really get started on the show.
Oh yeah, you know this. I feel like the Southeast Island update kind of really gets you up at proper operating temperature.
It gets me sort of in touch with the community, but also in touch with myself.
Right. You do a bit of mindfulness while you're checking in on what's happening down in the Southeast.
That's right. And I think I can even contribute something to the show now. I want to give my little story about a bit of dark history.
Okay. What is this involving here?
This is the Olympics. Uh-huh. The modern Olympics.
But the old Olympics.
No. So do you know what year the modern Olympics started in?
I think you're going to tell me.
It's like 1896, right?
Is that right?
Yeah. So this is actually about the modern Olympics in 1904. And
hold on just for 1 second. What are we listening to in the background here?
Run, boy, run. Because I'm going to talk about the marathon.
Oh, because you yourself are running. This is relevant.
That's right. It's all fucking themed now.
Okay. So you take it away. This is the Dark History Corner with Toby Hallam.
Yeah, so they're getting the Olympics sort of a bit sorted out by that point, and it was done in St. Louis. So this is the south of America, and so they had a bit of a race sort of thing going on there, and they wouldn't allow certain ethnicities to compete in the Olympics.
Oh, that ain't right.
1904.
That's not cool.
So like people like Filipinos and Indians and Eskimos. So they had a special day.
Who was allowed to compete? That's broad.
That's right. That's right. It's weirdly South Africa was allowed to compete.
Well, you know. at the White Olympics, coming to you in 1904.
But to make up for these poor savages who had not been allowed to compete, they had the so-called Anthropology Days. And the Anthropology Days were where all these people could compete with such sports as ethnic dancing, mud wrestling, and climbing up a greased pole. So, I don't know, I think even the South of America has come forward a little bit since those events were sort of set up. But I really wanted to talk about the marathon. So, you know, a marathon, it's, what is it? I think it's like 26 miles that you have to run. So that's a hell of a run.
You probably know what that is before you embark on half. I don't know what it is, but I signed up.
The exact distance from Marathon to Athens.
Okay, thank you. You know, I learned so much with dark history.
But, so they had the marathon. It's set up. It's set up around the city streets of St. Louis. And, you know, it starts about 3 p.m., and it's hot. Like 35 degrees that day that they're all that they were racing on, and the streets, they haven't been cleared. Cars are driving around on the streets.
What year is this again?
1904.
I didn't know. When did cars?
Well, there are some cars around.
All right, I don't know. I don't know anything about.
Anyway, so one thing that you need when you're running, or so I'm learning, is a bit of water sometimes. However, James Sullivan, who was the organizer of the race, he'd made sure that there were only two water stops in the entire 26-mile run.
Why is this again? Do you have
this
a motive?
Was because he was interested in the scientific effects of controlled dehydration.
this isn't a conflict of interest at all.
He was experimenting on the runners.
On the athletes. Good Lord, we hold the Olympics in such high esteem that it's this, you know, celebration of the human spirit and, like, also guinea pig doctor, mad scientist doctors with, like, goggles.
This is like the third one. They're just getting that stuff sorted out.
Right.
So, what do you got? Early on in the race, because this race is a fucking fuck show, like, Jesus. Early on in the race, William Garcia from California collapsed on the side of the road, was taken to hospital with stomach hemorrhaging, and he became the first person to die in an Olympic event.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Was it Garcia?
William Garcia.
Congratulations, William.
Yes, yes. We also have Felix Carvajal. From Cuba, he was a mailman, and he'd raised...
A mailman, as opposed to a female man. Yeah. Oh, the post.
Yeah.
Okay. He was a mailman.
But anyway, he'd raised money by running around Cuba, and so he had the money to get over there and compete, and he landed, and the first day that he landed, he lost all his money gambling on a riverboat casino.
I love it.
So he had to walk the last 50 miles to get to the race in his dress shoes and shirt. So he's wearing, like, leather dress shoes and a beret and, you know, and dress pants.
Right, a beret.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, one of the other contestants snipped off the bottom of his pants, so at least he was running in some kind of shorts. Anyway, he was fucking starving, so about an hour into the race, he picks up some fruit that he finds on the side of a road next to a underneath a fruit tree, an apple tree, but it was a bit rotten, and he started to feel a bit sick, so he laid down and went to sleep for a little bit.
Okay. He had a rotten fruit.
Rotten fruit.
And it upset his... This is so different.
Yeah, yeah. So next time you think about, you know, Team GB, Team
yeah,
Island,
yeah,
it's...
Yeah.
So
a team that's supposed to be called Russia but isn't allowed to say where they're from. They're like,
that's yeah. right. That's
so
right.
Like team Central North Asia.
The not seriously not bad guys team.
Yeah, they're fine. They're wearing white. I'm sorry.
There was another American called Fred Laws, and after about 15 kilometers, he started having cramps. So he decided to hitchhike for a bit. So he jumped in a car, went home actually, and got a change of clothes because he was a bit sweaty.
He went home.
Yeah. And then he got in a cab, took himself all the way to the end of the race, which was at the stadium, and said, just drop me out before, just a block away. And so he just runs up, you know, looking fresh and perfectly laundered outfit.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, everyone's like, the Americans won! Yeah!
Okay.
And so Alice Roosevelt, like Eleanor Roosevelt's daughter, was there.
Yes.
And she put a wreath on him. She was about to give him the award, first place, and the officials came up and said, wait a second, we never saw you on the race here at all.
Uh-oh. Boy, oing, 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 oing.
Boy, oing, oing, indeed. But he was like, oh, no, seriously, I wasn't going to take it. It was just jokes.
Right, yeah. That's pretty good.
So we can talk about the guy who wins now.
Let's talk about
the guy who wins? Mm-hmm. So this is a guy called... Thomas Hicks. He was like the favorite. But he was, you know, there were no rules against doping then, so he was being doped by his team. And doping in 1904 consisted of eating egg whites and being given a little bit of strychnine.
Really?
So that's rat poison.
Yes, yeah. I always thought it was strychnine.
Strychnine.
Proceed.
You say tomato. So about halfway through, he's begging for water, and his team's like, no, we just sponge out the inside of your mouth with a damp rag.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
And so towards the end, they've dosed him up with more strychnine and brandy, and he's hallucinating, and he starts going off the track, and his team have to guide him back onto the track.
Right.
Till eventually, about 2 kilometers before the end, he collapses on the ground.
No.
And the rest of his teammates, the people who have been doping him, pick him up and carry him the last 2 kilometers.
Really?
So he's crossing the finishing line, twitching, foaming at the mouth.
This is something else.
And he came first.
Ta-da!
He is the winner of the 1904 marathon.
That is something else.
Felix Carvajal woke up and completed the marathon after having a bit of a nap because he ate some rotten fruit. He came third.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then the Russian delegation, they turned up a week late because they were still using the Julian calendar.
Uh-oh. That ain't healthy.
1575, that was changed in the rest of the world for reference.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There
crazy,
you go,
crazy Olympics. I think we should return to this kind of real seat of the pants. Real, you know, this is the heart of a winner, the heart of a hero. Felix Carvajal.
Yes. Let's all take a moment to acknowledge Felix and his charm experience. I'm actually a William Garcia man myself.
The guy who died.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the Olympic spirit right there. Give it your all. And by all, yes. I mean everything you've got to give.
You're talking to me. You have something left. You did. You saved something for later.
No, you dump. Yeah, exactly. If you can breathe, you held back. That's actually how I like to think about it. Okay. So listen. Would you like to maybe check out what my publisher has been up to?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Mr. the Kool-Aid Man, my co-host Toby Hallam.
Yeah, I just came in.
It's true. It just came out. Okay, so I think this is going to work. As I record these voicemails off of my phone, and trying to play them can be a bit hairy. Hey, if you want to say anything to us here on the show, comments, questions, suggestions, criticisms, criticisms, you can do that via Twitter. It's the easiest way to do it. And you do that at Unfixed Radio. And we will read the tweets. My producer, Nina, is standing by.
And say, if you're in the neighborhood, just write it down in a note, wrap it around a brick, and throw it through the window.
We do prefer bricks. Someone tried a rock. It didn't pierce the window. It scared everyone. And then when we went outside, the guy was gone, and there was a note, and we didn't know who it was.
What an amateur.
Get it into the window, through the window. You can put your leg first and really follow through. We got my publisher. We're gonna listen to a voicemail from my wacky, quirky, nervous in the service publisher. Again, this is on the fly here. I'm really hoping this is gonna come around. So, yeah, check out what my publisher's up to. I'm excited. You excited?
Yeah, one way or another, we're gonna hear this.
Adam! Well, this is your publisher, Adam. It's been 3 months since I last used my face pipe to talk at your mailbox. I asked you to write some short stories, Adam.
Yep, for our new project. Well, maybe it was stupid of me to interpret your silence there, as a form of nodding. But 50 unanswered emails later, I went over to the Google, and I asked, where is Adam T. Jensen? And I hear you're self-publishing a short story through a Vanity Press app? Really? I thanked the guy, and you walked home in a daze. Is he stupid, I thought? What about the readers? People, they want paper, ink, the tactile reality of a book. There, didn't Wired say recently about the internet is just a fad? But anyway, what am I over here, Adam? I chopped livers. There. But look, don't be stupid, Adam, okay? The company is what? Youpublishit.com, right? What they're mocking you right there in the name, Adam. You publish shit. So go fuck off and do it yourself. We're in a ping pong tournament. That's what they're saying, Adam. But now look, I'm not like those Silicon Valley types, Adam. They're like rich children. Even their company names are in baby talk. Hulu, Hop Hop, Bing Bing Bing. But now, sure, I may live in a penthouse. I may have just installed a Bluetooth commode. I've had some success, Adam. Yeah, but deep down, I'm a hardworking blue guy, Adam. I'm a collar with scars, Adam. Actual bleeding facial scars from a life in books. There. And listen, like all children, these pricks don't think about others, Adam. Last week, I came home, and it's jackhammer. Yeah, my cats, Antonym and Cinnamon, they're all covered in dust. What's this, I says. Yeah, but the guy above me, see, he's a tech brat. He's the founder of a who? Yeah, and there he is, peering through a huge hole in my ceiling. He's installing a glass-bottomed pool, Adam. A swimming pool. Right above my master bed and bath. You saw he yells up. I says, hey, isn't glass more a balcony thing? What about my privacy? I just wear socks when I'm working. You know, I think he wants to force me out so he can build an industrial dance room. But right now, it's like a submarine art installation. Where I fight for my dignity there in a metaphorical hell diorama, while his rich boy merman lovers look down and laugh at the drunk nude publisher shaking his fist at the watery sky. And so this is what's happening to me, Adam. This sort of thing happens literally every day with these tech jerks. And they will get you too. Adam, come back home. Come back to me. The famous writer, William Gibbons, he tried to publish online once. What happened to him was, the company instantly folded. Everybody ran away. He made no money, and his story got infected with badware. Yeah, so keep that in mind. And Adam, listen, please, just fulfill your end of the silence, okay? And get me one short story by the end of next week, okay? Because we can't be playing around here, all right? I need to build a supplemental ceiling pronto so that I can take a shit without this fucking umbrella.
To listen to your message again, press 1. To save it and move on.
What's that?
Publishing around.
He's upset. He did find about the... I was just investigating, and I sent off a trial chapter for a short story I've been working on to youpublishit.com. And he found out. I don't know how, but he did. And he's raging.
Maybe it was a honeypot. You Publish It is a honeypot. It's him as well.
It's sad. And Nina, the producer, just said she missed the voicemail from the publisher. Nina, producer, I will indeed get to play it for you. Let's call Andrea.
Yeah. Okay.
What do you think? I'm gonna give her a call.
Pull the trigger.
Okay, hang in there. Hold on.
She's on tenterhooks.
Andrea.
Hey, Adam.
All right. Hey, we got you on the line. You're here via the wire, via the undersea cables.
Craziness of technology.
High-speed internet, Andrea. It's the information age. Thank you for tuning in. Sorry. Thank you for being on Unfixed.
Thanks for having me, as always.
You're a regular listener also, though.
Of course.
So I was just thanking you for listening also. Mm. And you're here to do 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien. That's one of our oldest segments. It's been around forever, for 12 years. It's when Andrea comes on. She gives us 90 seconds of stream of consciousness, mind business, and she just kills it.
When you call it mind business, because that makes me feel like a business lady.
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying what you're selling, I'll tell you that. All right, we're going to get into it. We're going to get into it immediately. And what is the topic? It's guys. What is it?
Clueless guys, specifically.
So guys that waste your time, guys that waste your life.
Yeah, dating and otherwise. Not necessarily dating in this case.
All right, so just people, males that kind of like just waste your time in general.
Yeah, I just need to rant.
All right, it is 90 seconds. With Andrea Lorien. It's about to happen. It's about to happen right now. And we have the new theme song, the L7, I Came Back to Bitch, with the old style ELRC 2007 stuff with a cameo word up. So let's check it out. Let's check it out right now. Let's do it!
All right, here's the thing. Like, I'm not, like, hating on guys specifically. Like, this girls and guys do this, but specifically a lot of men, older men, do this. But it's like, they won't admit when I'm right about something. Like, it's even, like, stupid shit. Like you, they could ask you for, like, what time it is, and you're like, oh, it's 4:45. And they'll be like, maybe. I gotta check on that. Like, actually, it's 4:45. Like, what? That's the the same thing. It's like they have to always like put themselves in, like insert themselves in there. Like they have to have the right answer. It like drives me freaking nuts. Why can I not be right for once in my life? Actually, you know what it is? I'm always right. This is the thing that they won't just admit to it. It really just like, especially like when guys don't know the answer, but they pretend they know the answer, but I actually know the answer to something. But when I say the answer, it's like couched in this like, oh, I think or I believe, but like I'm sick of that shit. Like I know what I know and I'm gonna fucking say it. And you know what? You don't know what you know, and I'm so sick of you acting like you fucking say it. One time I had to get my car towed because like I was at the, you know, like the mechanic shop, and the guy was like, oh, what's wrong with your car? And I just didn't feel like fucking telling him, and I'm just like, it just needs towed, okay? And he lost his mind. He freaked out on me and started screaming at me in the middle of the street, like, I don't have time for your attitude. He's like, I've had it up to here with this bullshit today. And I was literally scared for my life. Like, who the hell is this man screaming at me with a tow truck? Well, lucky for me, my neighbor pulled up. We were in a completely different side of town, by the way. But my neighbor pulled up and she's like, hey, it seems like you're in a situation. And I'm like, oh my God, am I? So I got to ride back with her to my house. Thank God I didn't have to like ride in the cab of this like freaking tow truck from hell. And we pull up and he has my car. And like, here's the thing though, I had to call the AAA people and be like, I never want this man ever to drive to tow my car because like, what the hell? He thinks he knows he can talk to me that way? He can't. I am so fucking sick of it. I am sick and tired.
We thank Andrea for her time.
She's working through some stuff there.
Yeah. She knows what she's doing. Andrea Lorien, thank you so much for your time. That's 90 Seconds with Andrea Lorien. That's 90 seconds only of the brilliant, who wrote an article for Slate, by the way. Check out Andrea Lorien's article, slate.com. Search for Andrea Lorien, Lourion, I think. You'll find it.
Yeah, so, yeah. Just ask Slate. Just ask Slate. Like, yeah.
Call Slate at 1-800 ask Slate. All right. It's time. Okay, I'm doing 10 fingers right now because I'm very pensive because we're about to try to do something that has never been done before.
Ever in the history of radio, television, or book writing.
Yeah, there's never been a depiction of a shower in a film or a book. It's true. So, but never live in a film or a book.
No one's ever written a book from a shower.
No one's ever written a book live. So we are a live book. That's never happened. A live stream book has never happened. So we are going to do, that's right, we're going to get in that soapy, wet box. It's the most fun you can have in a hot box without risking an STI. It is what you've tuned into here, and none of the things you have not. It is what we like to call the shower talk. Oh, boy.
You gotta let the water heat up a little bit. Get the room nice and steamy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Shower Talk, the show that is a part of Unfixed, but is completely its own and separate and autonomous and more good thing than Unfixed could ever be. Shower Talk, where we talk about thinking about talking about showering. I am top down Adam Jensen because that's how I wash. I start with the soapy suds of my hair and like cleaning a dirty wall. I let it cascade down until I am clean from top to bottom. I am here with
crotch first, Toby Helm.
Crotch first,
because I like to get a lather in the crotch and use it like a palette to clean the other parts of me in a selection and order in which I have decided upon.
It's true.
Previously.
It's true. So here on Shower Talk, we are going to do something unprecedented. It is never before done, never even thought about until just a few days ago. We are going to have a live
they
on
said
the
you
end
were
show.
Mad.
They said it couldn't be done. And then I just sent a quick WhatsApp message to Shower Talk regular Pierre Baton, who is here in the studio with us. Pierre, how are you?
Hey, hello. I'm fine.
Pierre, are you ready to do the live shower?
Yeah, totally, dude. I've been you know thinking about it, and it's the first time. It has to be done.
It has.
And I'm
to
glad
be done.
To be. The
You're
one
glad
doing
to be
this.
The one. Yeah, space monkey, ready to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
And we've got a lot of personal protective equipment that we need to use for this.
Tell me, Pierre. Yeah, what is the equipment that you're using to actually do this live shower, this unprecedented, never done before live shower? How are we doing this? Because I set up the auditory things, but what kind of equipment are you going in with?
Oh, well, I like to to keep it simple, to keep it a bit old school, if you like. So I'll be using my hands mostly.
All right. So this is a manual job.
Yeah, yeah. No loofah, no sponge or anything fancy like that.
It's going to be a rough shower running. Cap? Something to protect the hair? Because no. You've got some beautiful...
Yeah, do you have long flow? It's really thick and rich.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The water has to be protected from that, and it's not the other way around. Oh. So it's okay. It's unyielding. It won't be affected.
The water's never the same. If you have a drink out of a water fountain, you're like, that feels a bit kind of like French ooh la la. It's probably because Pierre used it to wash with one time. Because it just gets recycled, buddy. That's the water cycle.
It's just through the tubes and pipes. It comes back.
Back into the other tube. And then into your tube, out the other end of the tube, back into the tubes. So, yeah, okay. So, Pierre, it's not just a shower for the sake of showering. No, we have a more kind of heady concept, a more, you know, deeper idea. And that is, there is a line of products made by a company called Radox. Have you ever heard of this?
Yep, totally.
They have the feel line. So it's feel this or feel that. So they have a few, and we have three, and we're going to road test these suckers and see if they do what they say on the bottle. So one is called, say, for example, Feel Exuberant. I believe that's actually one that they have that I don't have. I don't have access to that. But you put it on, and you're supposed to feel exuberant. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, 2 hours sleep or whatever. You're supposed to feel exuberant. So what we have today, no, we have three. You've asked to only be told what two of them are, and you're going to attempt to ascertain what the third one is, all right? And we've put these in unmarked, scientifically neutral cups, plastic cups. And they are numbers 1, 2, and 3. And you're going to go in to the shower zone, to the shower lab, and strip down and rub this stuff all over your chiseled presser's form, if I understand correctly. And you're going to try to deduce which one is which. So the two that you're aware of what they're supposed to make you feel is relaxed and awake. Is that correct?
It's the two that I've been told by the producers, yes. It's what I know will happen. And the third one will have to be guessed.
You're
going
to try to guess.
Possibly fall unconscious or something, just going with the trend of the other names.
I just want to point out that Pierre is so brave in doing this that he actually is going out of his way to make this harder. So instead of saying, okay, this is relaxed, awake, and the other one, and you have they're not labeled, and he's going to try to deduce which one's which, he's going blind on the third one. He's going to accurately say which one is which and the other two, and say the third one, which I haven't, you know, you're going to correctly place relaxed with the number relaxed, the number cup. Awake
to.
With the number of the cup of the one that's awake. Because it's going to wake you up if it does what it does.
That should be the
And
easier
then
way.
You're also going to guess what the other one is and tell us.
To put it up a bit of a challenge.
Okay,
in
Pierre,
there.
Are you ready? Are you ready to do this? Are you ready to make radio
history?
History
has to happen.
Okay, all right. You do what you need to do. Godspeed, Pierre. Oh, so he's heading into the lab right now, Tubby. This is big. This is bigger than big. I don't think you really truly grasp what's going on because you're I'm standing.
So is he going to be blindfolded as well?
No. He's all right. We've got a remote mic. We've got remote headphones. Pierre's. It's going to be just like he was in here, but he's going to be in the shower. He's going to be showering live, Tubby. This has never been done before. Never tried before. It might have been tried, but the people, you know how, like, we can't find other civilizations out in space, and one theory is that they destroyed themselves in trying to do certain something that we're, like, gearing up to do? That's kind of why you've never heard about this before.
That's right. But we're continuing the ongoing mission of Shower Talk, really, to invade your shower.
Yeah. So Pierre's invading the shower here at the abandoned bar. I'm going to see if we can go ahead. We're going to go ahead and get Pierre's mic going over in the shower lab that we've had set up just for this experiment. So let's see if
I just got in the lab. I suppose you can hear me now.
I can hear you now, Pierre. How are you?
Well, you know, pretty fresh for now, but all right. I suppose I'll get some hot water going very soon to get you all warmed up.
Okay. Listen to that amazing bathroom echo that we're getting.
This is no joke, folks.
It's a beautiful bathroom indeed.
Yeah. Okay, so Pierre, let us. So right now you're just getting in your birthday suit in order to head into deep shower. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. I'm actually done with this, and I'm turning on the water. I hope it doesn't sound too rough for you guys.
I hope it doesn't. Don't touch that microphone because there's phantom power. There's 48 volts running through that mic. Pierre might die. Okay, Pierre. So right now what's happening for you right now? Tell the audience what's happening in your shower.
I'm waiting for the water to warm up.
Yeah, make sure the diet. You know what you're doing. All right, the cups again, right. Numbered 1, 2, and 3, secret content. So we're going to see which one is relaxed, which one's awake, and if he can deduce the third value.
Yeah, brought to you by the Clorox brand.
Radox,
right.
Radox. So, Pierre, how's the water temperature?
It's nice and warm, and the pressure's pretty good.
So gross.
Congratulations.
I didn't realize it was going to be gross.
The shower in the studio.
Oh,
Hey, but pressure's important. Pressure's important. We've all been burnt by pressure before.
Oh, yeah. We had an episode on pressure. So, okay. This is live. We are coming to you live from the shower room. Pierre, you're all, what are you getting all, so you're getting all, you're
yeah,
all, you're
no, I'm just getting set up. I'm placing the cups in different places so that I can, you know.
We've got.
All right. We've got number one.
What the fuck are we doing right now? Okay. Oh, you're going with number one, is it?
Well, yeah. I suppose I might as well try them in order.
Okay. Yeah. You'll try the three because you might have to take multiple times. Again, you've added a difficulty level, which I think makes this task, in fact, impossible.
Mm-hmm. So, but what's the essence of your experience right now?
What are you feeling?
First thoughts.
It's green. It's, number one is very, very green. So I'm just getting into it right now.
Oh God! So you're supposed to feel something, according to the.
Well, give me a second.
It needs to work its way in.
It hasn't kicked in yet. Right.
All right. So.
So this is either. Is this,
this is a strong fragrance. It's.
This is number one. Is it here?
Yeah. It's got something woody. Something. Maybe some vetiver in it or something like that. It's,
right. So we've got three options.
Forest. It's got oaks.
Okay. Is it question mark, relaxed, or awake?
Oh, that would definitely tend to the toward the awake kind of feeling.
So your guess is number one is awake.
It would tend to unclog your nostrils in the shower.
Okay.
You know, you don't wash for yourself. You also wash for the others, and that would. Yeah, I suppose that's the kind of thing that would make them feel clean as well.
Okay, so other people think you're clean.
Oh yeah, but they would feel
they themselves feel clean just by smelling you.
The scent that is
and that is also awake.
This is giving away. It's
all right.
It's also giving a nice tingling sensation on the skin as you let it sit a bit.
No,
that's bound to keep you awake.
All right.
Yeah. So okay. I'm going to go with awake on this one.
Get that rinsed off, Space Monkey.
So that's been recorded by our three judges who are watching from just outside the window in
no,
the
they're
shower.
They're in Prague. The remote in Prague. At the National Institute for Shower Studies. the International Institute of Shower Studies in Prague. Okay, moving on. So we're going to number two, is that correct?
We're going to number two, which is apparently purple. Like it's,
okay.
Yep, it's
violet,
purple.
Violet color.
Violet, is it?
So gross.
Okay.
I didn't realize I didn't want to hear another guy shower a lot.
Well, those aliens are coming to pretty much wipe us out now.
Yeah. This is the termination event.
All right.
How do you feel?
This is flowery. This is refreshing, actually.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay.
So, definitely go for that after a long Sunday walk, coming back home, need a shower.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And you feel.
This could maybe be relaxed, unless it's got some other purpose that I'm going to discover in the few next moments.
Right, okay.
But it's definitely a Sunday shower scent sort of package.
It's the way it makes me feel, it's got this feeling.
It seems like it's left you speechless.
It's quite
he's really involved. I think he's really getting in there.
For my own taste.
He's really working it. Like, while he's at it, he might as well really cleanse, I think. Mm-hmm. He's really... All right, rinse that sucker off. You believe that might be relaxed?
It could be.
Okay, awake and relaxed. And there's also one yet to be named. You insisted on upping this difficulty level into impossibility mode and also name the unnamed sour gel and rank them in the appropriate...
The impossible gel.
Name the impossible gel. So are we ready to go to number three?
Yeah, which is a... electric blue color,
okay.
I would say.
Okay.
Ooh, like an energy drink.
Pretty much, although I suppose it's not supposed to be used that way.
Uh-huh. Don't drink it.
No, that's for another episode.
We're just going to have you eat shower gel and record it in the future.
All right,
so trying this one.
Well, this is a young scent.
Did you hear the French oof, Pierre? Toby, did you hear the French oof?
Yeah.
It's a real oof.
Or the Generation Z oof.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's something else. So, okay, number three, Pierre. How do you feel, Pierre? Come in. How do you feel?
Number three is four. It is strong. It is stronger than both the others, but it's got this locker scent. It smells like
high school gym.
Teenage boy.
You're showering with an excessive amount of.
I don't like all that.
I don't know. It's.
I don't like it, Toby.
I don't necessarily like it very much.
Okay, you don't like this one, so it's shitty. It feels shitty. Pierre, how do you feel? Because this is the third one. Do you want to recalibrate, or do you want to kind of review?
I'm going to go with something along the lines of energy or electrify or something like that.
Feel electrified. Feel electrified. Is that your final answer?
Let's call it energy or something like that.
Okay, energy. In parentheses, energy. Okay.
Well, if the others were relaxed and awake, this should be energizer.
Right, okay, right.
That's okay. It feels like, just...
So are we locked in? Are those your final answer? Number one was awake, number two is relaxed, and number three is electrified. Feel electrified.
Yeah, that definitely would be the way I would label each and every one of them.
But the scent of teenage boys, that last one was.
Oh, yeah, it's something of a, locker room shower.
Feel adolescent. Feel adolescent.
A scent that you would use when you're 12.
Feel unsure of oneself. Okay, Pierre, I'm going to ask you to do the final rinse, and then...
I'm actually doing that complete work now. Gleefully working the soap away.
Great, okay. Wow, this is not what I expected.
Yep.
No, I'm okay, that.
So we're going to cut away to our specialists in Prague now, but we can see you back in the...
Pierre, do you want to towel down and then come back into the studio? Just with it,
Yeah, sure.
As quick as you can.
2 minutes to dry up.
As quick as you can. We're going to cut your mic, and then we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to reveal the answers, and then we're going to get out of here, okay?
All right.
I'll see you in a bit. Thank you for going into the lab. Oh my God, you smell so showery. He really does. Can you smell this yet? Does it hit you? Because you cannot miss this.
There it comes.
Oh
there
my God.
Comes.
I wonder which one, which smell do you think that is? Is that the last one? The high school gym locker room.
I rinsed that one by reusing the second one.
Oh, you went back
to
the second
was
one.
Relaxed. Yeah. I thought that would
which,
be better.
By the way, ding, 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 Pierre, number two was in fact relaxed.
Oh,
number
nice.
Two was relaxed. Yeah. So you nailed relaxed.
Okay.
You got it. So number two is relaxed. The one that you didn't have the value for was actually refreshed, which is funny because you said, I feel refreshed when you first used it. Yes. And then you refined that answer to electrified, in parentheses, energy. In parentheses, adolescent, right?
Yeah, so that was the third one.
The third one was actually awake.
Oh,
so you crushed number two, and then number three was awake, and number one was refreshed, and which you thought was awake. So you thought awake, refreshed, electrified. It was refreshed, relaxed, awake.
I wouldn't want to wake up with that.
Right. Now, Toby mentioned that you actually were thematically accurate. You're like, this one makes me feel kind of, activated. That was refreshed. You said this makes me feel awake. That's fine. And then number two, you're like, this makes me feel relaxed. That's the lavender one. I believe it's purple. And the last one was, it's supposed to make you feel awake, and you called it electrified, which is, that's a synonym for awake, I think, electrified.
So basically, what you're saying to me is that I was right all along.
Pretty right.
Their marketing was wrong.
That's correct. So we can get in touch with Radox. We're going to take this data. We're going to get in touch with the fellows out in Prague at the International Research Shower Research Facilities.
See if we've got a case.
See if we can bring charges, and we're going to make that happen. Pierre, thank you so much for sacrificing yourself. For the greater good.
Anytime.
Getting out
anything
there,
for a good shower.
Getting out
one
there.
One small
having,
shower for man.
Yeah. Yeah. What? One thing I have to go clean up after the show for your host, Adam
one
Jensen.
One giant rinse for mankind.
All right, Pierre. Thank you so much for being on Shower Talk, the show within a show where we talk about thinking about showering. I'm Top Dem, Adam Jensen. I'm here with...
Grotchfest,
T. Hallam. And also, Pierre, what was your shower name? You definitely had one at some point.
I don't think I ever did.
I'm sure you did. I will do some research. We'll get in touch with the guys in Geneva. And Pierre, thank you so much for being part of Shower Talk, the show, the hit spinoff podcast from Unfixed Radio. And we're gonna get back to the rest of the show in just a moment, all right? Thanks for coming in and doing what you do.
Thank you. Anytime.
Toby, I think it is time, in fact, to get to our main event.
Yeah, let's bring it on.
It's a big deal. It's a huge get. It is Damien freaking Abraham fucked up. I'm making hand gestures right now. I'm making the hand purse. Saying I don't know if you realize the gravity. The
no,
levity.
But you've said a very important Irish punk guy.
He's a very important Canadian punk guy, Toby. He is from Toronto, and he's the lead singer of the band Fucked Up. He is the host of Turned Out a Punk podcast. If you like punk music at all, search for Turned Out a Punk in the podcast world. He has interviewed Danger Aaron from Jackass very recently. He's had Fred Armisen of Portlandia, and I think he's on Saturday Night Live, that fella, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
He was in a band called Trench Mouth. He had him on. So the show is about anybody who's been involved in punk or was in punk bands or involved with punk or affected by the genre strongly and what they've turned into thereafter, you know. He's had Fat Mike of NOFX on. He's had, you know, Joey from Lagwagon.
From Friends?
I think, Lagwagon. I'm terrible at this stuff. He's amazing at this stuff. He's got an encyclopedic memory. He has an encyclopedic command over punk history. And I was so terribly happy that he was able to take some time out to give us an interview. And here it is, Toby. You know, I'm proud of this one. I'm very, very pleased with how this went.
You're real punked out on it.
Yeah, I think we're flying high. And we're looking good, right? But the problem is the problem, Toby. This is such a segue. We're looking good, but listen, here's the problem.
That's so sad.
We are here with none other than the fucking legend, Damian Abraham, lead singer of Fucked Up, host of Turned Out a Punk podcast. Thanks so much for taking time out right now to do an interview with us.
Thank you for taking the time out to do an interview with me and putting up with the headache that is waiting for someone to be ready to do an interview. Yeah. I've dealt with that, I know, and I'm really sorry to impose that upon you.
Well, look, waiting for the interview for me was watching your set, so I think
I'm doubly sorry now.
I think I did okay. Just on that topic, super quick, like, did you do mainly stuff from Dose Your Dreams? The Other Shoe was there for sure, but did you do many songs from other bits, or was this mainly kind of a showcase of Dose Your Dreams?
It's like weird, because like when you're in a band, you know, you're, it's like the obligation, and it's funny because like I would always hate when I saw a band come and they play all the new songs from their new record, but that's like the obligation. Once you're in the band, it's like you forget, it's like you have amnesia about what it was like beforehand. You're like, no, we should go off stage and make the audience wait for an encore. Like, you forget about all the things that you hated as someone watching a band,
right?
And I think certainly with the new record, you know, like, historically, I've been so resistant to play new stuff. Like, I think we did Glassboy tours where we only played, like, one song off Glassboys, and that was it. With this record, I don't know, I'm really having fun with the fact that everyone in the band gets to sing. So, if anything, I'm the one encouraging, being like, yeah, let's do a new one. Let's do another new song where Jonas sings. Let's do the song where Jonas sings by himself.
And I think I read an interview or a kind of an article by somebody else who had said that had interviewed you, and you had explained that you felt that you'd maybe backed off in terms of having to maintain control over the band. And perhaps that was a little bit about Turned Out a Punk getting out of control and, you know, getting this, you know, taking off. And also this Vice thing you're doing with the wrestling that's coming up. Not to stray too far, but can you tell me a tiny bit about the whole Vice thing with the wrestling, what it's all about, when it's released, how you can get your hands on it, and what's that all about?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball here, so I can't tell you too much because I'm in the dark about it right now. Last I heard, it was coming out this year. I honestly, it is the coolest thing I've ever been involved in. Like, I really am, and it wasn't just because, like, obviously, you know, it was cool. It was a great idea that I had to do something about wrestling, but I think more than that, I hooked up with two unbelievable filmmakers, Jeff and Nathan from Salazar Films. And, you know, Colin and Yuji, who were on camera and sound respectively as well. We had an amazing researcher. Like, everyone on the team wasn't a wrestling fan at all, but they all fell in love with wrestling through doing this project and really did it really well. But I think the timing we were doing that, you know, we were talking before we started recording about we're in this amazing period for wrestling. Like, it's 1991 for pro wrestling right now. Like, we are seeing the Nirvanas and the Pearl Jams and all this kind of stuff happening. Like, you know, the stuff that's happening on the independence level is just as exciting, if not more exciting, than the stuff that's happening on the major level right now. So being able to document it around the world just, it felt like an incredible privilege, and I'm just really stoked for people to get to see it.
Right. And you're not sure what's going to come out, but it's coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out. It's 10 episodes, an episode on just Lucha Libre and Tijuana, an episode on, you know, making a wrestler and what it takes to kind of be at that top level of the independents right now. An episode about wrestling in Nunavik and a company that goes touring through there with indigenous wrestlers and how they're the only entertainment that comes for the indigenous youth. Something about witch catch wrestling, voodoo wrestling in the Congo. Stuff about the fighting Cholitas in Bolivia. Stuff in
You're in deep.
I just think it's such a global art form, you know, and I think it's never been appreciated, even I think by some of the people involved in it, as a global art form. Like, it was always looked upon as being like a work, in some cases a sport, in some cases simulated combat, real combat, in some cases
sports entertainment. Sports, I believe,
entertainment, you're right. But to me, it's an art form. And I think Colt Cabana on his Art of Wrestling podcast really put that into perspective for me when he had all these guys showing up that had wrestled all over the place and they all kind of had these same commonalities.
Right, okay. So, like, you host a podcast called Turned Out of Punk.
Yes, I do.
It's about people who grew up listening to punk. They may or may not be still involved in punk, but they've had their life changed by the genre in a major way. Is
you
that right?
You've listened to this before. You can do it. Do you want to do the intros for me? Because I fucked that up.
Sure, because, like, you typically start out the episodes or the interviews by saying, so how did you get into punk? Do you remember the first time that you came across the genre?
Yes. You want me to say? I guess the very, very first time I ever came across the genre would have been the point that jumps out at me is I went to I think it was Madame Tussauds, but it might not have been. It was a rock history wax museum that they had in London, England for a while. And they had like little, you know, I guess large scale dioramas of all these different music acts, and then
life size, right?
Life size, yeah. And then it ended with an animatronic music history show. That was crazy. It was amazing. At one point, Phil Collins, like a robot.
That's gonna leave an impression, man.
Oh my gosh, a robot Phil Collins singing In the Air Tonight, and then a drum kit rises from the floor and he's like robot.
How old were you again, please?
I would have been about, I think I went to it like every year for 4 years because my dad moved to England, so we'd go to visit my dad and we'd always be like, what do you guys want to do? We're like, we're going back.
Okay. I want to see Phil Collins rotate.
Phil Collins. But the thing that stuck out to me also from the exhibits, and I can't even remember any of the other exhibits except for this one, was the Sex Pistols one. And it was Sid Vicious and John Rotten. And Sid Vicious, or John Rotten, John Lydon, Johnny Rotten, had his Destroy with the swastika shirt on it.
Right.
And I remember as a kid just being like, why does he have a swastika on, Dad? And just trying to, you know, and my dad trying to explain to us, like, oh, well, they're, you know, trying to explain. My dad trying to put in the context of punk stuff that had happened. Because my dad would go to the odd punk show back then. But it just stood out to me. And it was almost an aversion. Like a real strong aversion to the Sex Pistols for a long time. And
because of the swastika.
Because of the swastika. Like it just totally.
It turned you off.
Turned me off. And then later on, you know, my friends started getting into punk around the time Nirvana was exploding. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I really like Guns N' Roses. I really think Guns N' Roses is where it's at. Not recognizing the fact that Guns N' Roses also comes out of punk rock. Well, Duff.
Yes.
Duff.
Fair enough.
So we, you know, my friends got into that, and then I met a kid. I got busted for shoulder tapping, which is when you get someone older than you to buy beer for you.
Okay.
And at the cost.
That's the Canadian slang for it.
Yeah. Well, it's not even Canadian slang. I think it's just Toronto slang.
All right.
I wonder if Drake knows it. I got to ask Drake if I meet him one day. My mom got called by the cops. The cops were like, your son, you know, did this. And my mom forbid me from hanging out with all these kids that I've been hanging out with. And I became a camp counselor at a summer camp.
As a result,
I became a
camp counselor. I got an older guy to buy beer for me. And so, long story short, I was a camp counselor.
I had the job lined up in advance. Thank God there was no social media, so the cops didn't alert the camp that I was going to be working there.
Right.
I started working there. I met this kid, Nick, that wrote graffiti, and he was super into Sonic Youth.
Right, okay.
And got me to buy the Year Punk Broke, the 1991 The Year Punk Broke video with Nirvana and Ramones. And from there, I was hooked. You know, I just couldn't understand how I didn't get it before that. Like, you know, and it just kind of, that's the start of, like, the pursuit that I've been on ever since, right? Where it was like, oh, so Sonic Youth, Ramones, Nirvana, like all these bands are connected to punk. Punk is just such this huge thing. And then the more, you know, and still this day, like I'm constantly peeling back layers and realizing, oh, that person was in a punk band too. Like that guy. So it's, yeah, never ending.
Right. Yeah, sure. Okay, so in terms of like some of the guests you've had on Turn Out a Punk, you recently had Danger Aaron from the legendary Jackass.
Yes.
You know, he revealed he's going to be the first AI. He's retained all his childhood memories from the van he fell upon whenever he fell down a flight of stairs that broke. He realized it was a good thing to get hurt around people who love you, and that's kind of what launched his, like, lifestyle. And he's decided he needs to get in touch with Elon Musk and program all his old memories into a little machine. He's going to be a little walking robot. Anyway, my question for you is, do you think he's going to make a good first AI immortal robotic overlord? Is it a safe first?
I think he, like, maybe not as our overlord.
Well, I mean, he's going to be more powerful than anything.
No, but I agree. I think Danger Aaron's one of the few people, like, you go to Portland, and there's, like, it's a lot of camps and a lot of different people that don't interact with each other, I think.
Right, okay.
And I think Danger Aaron's the only one that seems to operate in all different
ways. Right, yes.
So maybe he would be a good AI. Maybe he'd be the guy that, the great communicator.
Yeah, he's tied into everything. So off the notes, you yelled from the stage tonight, who's the most famous Canadian you know about?
Yes.
I shouted Tom Green.
You were the one who shouted Tom Green. Well, no, because everyone stumped on Drake. They're like, Drake is the most famous.
But that was your point. But my point is that, like, okay, Tom Green, you referred to Tom Green as, okay, maybe a blip. I would actually put it to you that Tom Green changed the face of comedy and of social satire and of just taking a camcorder and getting out there and going for it long before Jackass. Tom Green was doing Canadian public access in 1994, got picked up for MTV in 1999, a full year before Jackass got picked up from MTV.
You're right. He is the guy. I think we talked about it on the footnotes for the Danger Era.
Is that right? Okay.
You're right. He is the one who is the architect. But I think I also view those Jackass and Tom Green guys as falling into, like, a long history of performance art.
Certainly.
Like I don't think they were watching Cinema of Transgression.
I agree.
Stuff.
Yeah, no.
But at the same time, I think that, like, they were the pop culture, you know, like, this thing.
Conduits.
Yeah, to the masses.
Agreed.
Tom Green is a loved, beloved human being for me. I even liked his rap group.
I don't know. Which one?
Like, it's so far.
Yeah, the Porky Armadillo. What's an armadillo? No, that was Organized Rhyme.
Is that Organized Rhyme, too?
Yeah.
That's the...
That's another question I prepared for you, Damon Abraham, is that... You're definitely an avid reefer smoker.
Yes, sir.
How the hell do you remember all the band names and everything you remember? Do you lace your pot with, like, a Ginkgo biloba and omega-3s or something?
No, I don't remember anything else. You guys can ask anyone in this room right now. I got up to the border today, and I checked the name of the venue and the hotel just before I got there.
Cause yeah.
Yourself.
Barry's Hotel or something?
Yeah, and I got up there, and... my mind went blank. I'm like, I could have told her the entire history of Desperate Bicycles at that moment, but luckily, someone else from the band had gone in through just before, so I was like, yeah, I'm staying where they're staying and I'm playing where they're playing.
Yeah, right. Those other guys.
Ask them.
And yet you can remember the name of, like, what a band was called before they changed their name twice that played out of Ontario. You know exactly what that's called. You know what their first album was called. That's great.
I think it's like, I honestly think that anxiety makes me block out the stuff that gives me stress. And the stress that brings me comfort, I can remember.
That's actually quite interesting. Okay, one more. We're going to get the hell out of here. So, one more. It's less a question, more of a request. When are you going to have a member of Bad Religion on Turned Out a Punk?
I'd love to have someone from Bad Religion. I'm supposed to have I was supposed to have Brick Gerwitz on, but it just didn't end up happening. He couldn't do it, and I like, you know, there's some interviews that I'm like, I hold off on because I know I want them to be special when they finally do happen.
It's like edging.
Yes, I don't like edging. Some tantric sex practice of podcasting that I've been trying to do.
When we have Dr. Graffin on, then we'll
edge to completion. I'll hit. There's a bunch of people that I like have had on, and it's because I just couldn't wait any longer. And so that's the other thing. It never ends. Like every week, it's like, who should I have on? And yeah, that's why I think the podcast could go on forever, because I just until I get Josh Brolin and Rick Rubin and Gillian Anderson, the quest continues. I find it interesting, too, how much it impacted people. Like, I wonder, like, maybe one day someone will get to Turn Out a Metal Head or Turn Out a Hip Hop Head and stuff and find out.
Yeah, no, look. But it's copyright that shit before that happens.
Exactly. The damage that's done to a person by punk rock, I wonder if it's the same by other music genres. Because like Craig Ferguson, when Craig Ferguson was on, and he's like, you know, a huge celebrity, like a huge famous person.
Yes, he has
been famous for a long ass time, and he's talking about how he had punk rock guilt about his success until Lars from Rancid helped him kind of come to terms with it. And it's just like, holy shit, there is something to punk rock guilt. If Craig Ferguson, someone that has experienced multitudes of lives after his period in punk bands, is still kind of beholden to the values from these punk bands, yeah, there is something to it. At every turn, I want the podcast to be a happy thing.
You know? Yeah, I know what you mean. My show's quite positive as well.
Yeah,
like, I'm not quite a positive person, but my show is.
Same. And I think it's just because there's so much negativity in the world that I want this to be like a celebratory place. And obviously, people can bring whatever they want. I'm not going to tell someone, like, don't say that. But at the same time, like, I try and make sure that this is, like, a fun celebration of just
culture
and being young. Yeah.
Like, absolutely.
Julian Baker, the episode with her was, like, kind of my ideal kind of conversation because, you know, it got deep. But at the same time, it's just about how great this stuff is.
Yeah. Listen, thank you so much. I like, this is kind of your fault, and that, you know, you used to say, or you still say, get out there and make your own culture. Anybody can do this. And sometimes I get down, like, you know, it's hard to get people to listen. What the fuck am I spending all this money and doing all this stuff for whenever, like, nobody gives a shit? And then I hear you say something like that. I'm like, look, if people didn't do it, then there'd be nothing. And so it keeps me going sometimes. So this is actually your fault a little bit. Because you kept me doing my show, and now I'm trapping you here in the corner, and your band is being super whisper quiet. Around us is super polite. So nice for everybody.
I think we all understand in the band that, like, this is the stuff. Like, as much as you're doing it for other people to hear it, ultimately you're doing it for yourself. And even when you're doing a band, like, ultimately you're doing it for yourself, and it's for your own well-being, your own peace of mind. Like, I really look at doing the podcast like doing a zine, you know? And I'm stoked that people like it. I definitely love the fact that people like to do it. But at the same time, like, I've been doing this podcast unrecorded every time I've been able to confront a hero of mine that was in a punk band. Like, I've
confront is an interesting choice.
Well, you can like, I'll trap. I remember Joan and I were on this tour, and Duff McKagan, the aforementioned Duff McKagan.
Yeah.
I saw him through a crack in the door, sitting in his dressing room, and I just opened the door and said, "Excuse me, can I talk to you about the Fastbacks?" And he was shocked that anyone would bring that band up to him. Sure. And he said, "Sure, sit down." And I just. This is before Turn Into Punk existed, but I basically did an episode with him backstage for myself.
Right, okay.
And I would be doing that still if I didn't have this podcast, I think. So I'm glad if I can encourage anyone like, you know, yourself to do something for
themselves,
then that's fucking awesome.
All right, thank you so much, David and Abraham, and all of Fucked Up who's been, like, in the room, but very, very quiet. Unfixed. Again, thanks so much, Damien. Enjoy Dublin. For the next, 3 hours, you're off to Manchester tomorrow, so.
Unfixed for life.
When's your flight tomorrow?
Noon.
Fun.
Toby, Damien, Abraham have fucked up, and the podcast Turned Out a Punk and the soon to be released Vice series on wrestling around the world.
Yeah, that was great. It sounded like you guys had good fun there.
It was a great time. It was my birthday as well. The following day was my birthday. So I turned a certain age.
Yeah, a million.
TB disclosed. At midnight after he had to take off, and also they had all this beer in the fridge from their rider. You know, right. you know what I mean? And they only didn't drink very much. And so, like, Damien gave me all the beer that they didn't drink. He doesn't drink, but as I mentioned, he likes to indulge in the reefer pursuits.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a guy who sort of, you know, knows what he likes and then does it. It's, weed smoker, into punk, and then, you know, wrestling as well. That was a... Didn't expect that one.
Did you not?
Well, I mean, well, not until I heard it.
Yeah, of course. He gave me all these, like, fun craft beer cans, which I took in a bin liner to the rest of the bar. And then I wound up hanging out with Reggie.
Bad
bag of cans. If you remember hanging out, it was like bin liner full of things. So once again, I'd really like to say thank you to Damien Abraham and also to the band Fucked Up, who are in their back room, like trying to be really quiet, putting their instruments away and things like this, which is really nice. I got to ask Damien Abraham, you know, what was the first time you heard about punk? When did you first come across the genre? Which is how he starts his interviews, and no one had ever really asked him that, I don't think. And so I was able to ask him that, and I feel like I broke new ground there.
Forging into the unknown.
Yeah, thank you so much to Damien Abraham. You can find him at Left4Damien, LeftFor Damien, DamieN on Twitter. Find Turned Out of Punk podcast at, search any podcast app for Turned Out of Punk. You can find Fucked Up the band, and I believe their Twitter handle is at Fucked Up, I believe. I'm gonna verify that guy right now. But right now we're listening to The Other Shoe. You can't be comfortable. When the whole thing's about to fall, Toby. We're dying on the inside. That is a Fucked Up band. That is just at Fucked Up on Twitter. Check out their stuff. Thanks to everybody. Thanks to everybody involved. And check out the new album, Dose Your Dreams. It's actually very, very good. Normal People is a hell of a song. All right, we got more segments to get through. Toby, we've got options. We've got Pet Cemetery, which I could skip, but we can do it. And we've got the new segment, Fucks That.
And, yeah, I'm curious about this one. What the fuck is that?
You want to get into Fucks That. All right, so this is the inaugural launch. You were witnessing and listening to... The theme song is from a band called SOD, Stormtroopers of Death. The song is called What's That Noise? And this is the theme of the segment, Toby.
Okay, well.
In which you attempt to identify a sound that I have recorded in person. All right, Toby, let's do it. This is called Is That? You try to figure out what is the sound that I have recorded in person with the recording device that I was holding, okay? And here's the theme song for it.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Hey Alex, though? What the fuck is that noise? Hey, what the fuck is going on here?
Alright, so we're going to get into this segment right now. This is called Fuck Is That.
Yeah, and if you're out there and you think you can identify it faster than
me. Yeah, send a tweet to @UnfixRadio, and we can figure out if you're smarter than Toby in terms of auditory identification of sounds that they're unaware of. I'm sorry, there's a few tweets coming in, and we're gonna have to wait till after fucking.
Yeah, my ears are vibing. They're ready.
Okay, you're ready to go. All right, okay, so Toby, hold on. So right now, what we're gonna get to is silence, okay?
Oh, yeah.
So we can prime you. Right, so this is nothing, okay?
Oh, right. I can identify that one.
Okay. All right, okay, so here's the sound. Toby, on the inaugural version of Fuck Is That? He's thinking, folks. I can see the concentration in his eyes.
Darth Vader having an aneurysm.
Okay, just think of it in context. What is that high-pitched beep that you hear periodically and then an increase in the frequency, right?
Yeah.
What might that be?
A massager?
Okay. You know, that's not that crazy of a guess. Are you done guessing?
I keep on wanting to sound like a word, like someone's saying... Boomerang.
Boomerang.
Boomerang, yeah.
I'm out. All right, so the big reveal right now is that that, in fact, is a breast milk pump. That is Aisling's breast milk pump. It's the diaphragm of the check valve.
Was it on the breast at that point, or was it just sucking in the air?
No, this is a PG-13 show, Toby. It was sucking air.
Right, okay.
But she has to put this thing on her tender body, and it makes this noise while she's alone in a room.
That's like some fucking hentai shit.
It's pretty. You know, it was horrific, and that's why... So that's why we decided to make it a part. Thank you for being a part of the initial segment of What the Fuck Is That?
The fuck is that?
All right, so that was fuck is that?
And I didn't know what the fuck was that.
And you lost. I think in the future we should play it with a guest.
Yeah.
And then
you
guys can fight for who comes closer. Look, honestly, Massager wasn't too far from the truth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was just talking with the producer, Nina, and we have to do Pet Sematary. And Nina said, who's going to do Pet Sematary? And I said, I guess me, man. And I think that means no one else is going to step up. Katrina was considering it. Was she not?
I think she's a no.
She's a no. Did you guys talk about it today?
Yeah. It's still too soon.
Okay. Well, mine happened quite some time ago, and I haven't done this one yet on the show. So I'm willing to do it, and so we're gonna walk out of fuck is that, and we're gonna walk in, we're gonna walk down, as we say, that misty crooked path to the Pet Sematary,
memory lane even
in the woods, and we're gonna visit the grave of a dear pet, and this is my childhood cat John Whiskers. We are going to go ahead and get to that, and we're gonna get to it right now.
I don't wanna be buried in a pet cemetery.
Okay. All right. So my cat John Whiskers. We actually got John Whiskers when his mom Smokey came into. I was about 6 years old, perhaps, and his mother Smokey came into our yard in Rhode Island. And I ran into the house and I said to my parents, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle! A cat came into our yard." Because of course that's God's hand, you know,
writing on the wall.
All right. It's true. It's true. So I I told my parents it was a miracle. They said, fine. And so they actually, I remember a black and white photograph in the local paper. We actually said, you know, lost cat, trying to find the rightful owners of Smokey. Smokey was not claimed. And later, Smokey wound up spending a lot of time in the garden shed. And one day, we went into the garden shed, and I was very young. And I was convinced that I had these little plastic farm pigs. I had a farm playset, and these little, like, 3D plastic farm pigs that had nipples themselves, right? I thought they had come to life because I saw these little hairless, writhing kittens on the ground, and I thought that my little plastic pigs had somehow animated. That's what my child brain believed was happening. So it turns out those were live birth kittens, and Smokey was looking for a safe place to have her kittens. So we adopted out all of the ones except for the orange ones. All the other ones were gray, speckled, kind of like Maggie, like, except for this one that was orange and white, and I wanted to call it Marmalade, but it didn't stick, and then they wind up calling it Whiskers. We had Whiskers in Rhode Island. We had Whiskers for a long time. We took Whiskers to Pennsylvania. I grew up into a hardy 10-year-old and a husky 11-year-old, and I slimmed down when I was 14 or 15 to fit in at the high school. And I had John Whiskers always around. We called him John Whiskers because he wandered in. Whiskers wandered into the room in the Pack Smash, which is the basement room where we used to hang out. And someone said, "What's your cat's name?" And I said, "John." It was Generation X, like, you know what I mean? Sarcasm, John, whatever.
Seriously.
Indeed. And so, so John Whiskers was then bequeathed his name, John Whiskers. And John Whiskers lived another good long while. He was an alpha male little shit kicker. He would fight off any other cat. He was a big, bulky, take no prisoners. He was not a cuddly little guy. He was a little warrior, and he owned his spot. Anywho, so John Whiskers started to become incredibly lethargic towards the end of his life. Very, very, very tired all the time. Always sleeping. And he just had a cold that would never, ever stop. He had a runny nose. He had crap around his eyes. Which I later deduced that meant that he had a feline leukemia, that FIV, infectious immunodeficiency disease that cats can get from out there and blood sports that they engage in. But he had a cold forever and became very, very, very tired. And that stretched on for years and years. He bounced back for maybe a year, and then he really got bad again. And one day we were hanging out. It was me and Jason Calhoun and that girl, Jamie, whom I was trapped with for a while. We were out in a car and we were driving around. It was when Oasis's Don't Look Back in Anger was a huge song.
And Don't Look Back in the 90s?
Check outside the time of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play? And I was singing this to my cat because we took him on a little trip. Cat hated car rides. But he hopped in the car with us this one time and laid on the dashboard, completely oblivious to the fact that he hated cars. And I was like, wow, this cat's really come around. Huh. It's really changed kind of MOs in terms of how it relates to car travel. And we got back to the Pack Smash. And, you know, we got out of the car and everything was fine. And then he was walking around and he laid down. My parents were away and they had been away for a few days. They were hanging out with the Webbers, who they used to hang out with. And Whiskers kept laying down in the driveway, in the car park, the car path, right? And I took this cat and I moved it. I moved John Whiskers from the path of the car, where the car would typically park, twice. Went back and laid down, I kid you not, in the driveway. And so I was like, you gotta move. And then, my parents arrived home, and, the big, is a fucking 8-cylinder fuck off, like 4.2 liter Cadillac sedan DeVille, pulls into the driveway, and goes a bit funny, goes a little bit clunky when it pulls into the driveway, which I witnessed. And I said, wait, where's Whiskers? And I run over, and then my mother and father got out of the car, and they're like, oh god, what are we, oh god, and Whiskers is scratching at its haunch. Like something was attacking it, because it had intense pain coming from its hip, like. And so it was, like, attacking its own hip, like something else was attacking it. And then it stretched out, and it died in front of me. And, yeah, John Whiskers left me in the grass. I thought maybe just needed some water, because I was just in shock. And I poured some water from a jar or something into his mouth. And everyone else was standing around with their hands in their pockets, like, yeah water's not gonna take us home today. That was a shitty day, man. And so that Oasis song, you know, don't look back in anger.
Oh, it's got that.
Step inside the eye of your mind. Don't you know you might find a better place to play? Pour out a little bit of your Fody for John Whiskers. That's been Pet Sematary. That is the eulogy to John Whiskers. There you go, buddy.
But that was pretty badass. John Whiskers is like, I'm going out on my turn.
Yeah, he might have completed suicide.
Yeah, yeah, as much as a cat can do that. Fuck yeah.
I mean, it seemed pretty conscious. It seemed really deliberate. He was laying in the truck. I'm like, you cannot lay here. You know the car's come in here, right? And I pulled him away twice. And then he went back there. The car shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's gone. He was very in poor health. It might have been like euthanasia.
Yeah, he decided it's like, never take me on a car trip again.
Well, that part's different. That was a moment between you and I. I don't appreciate you shitting on that. All right, so we actually have, we almost forgot, Toby, we have a going for a walk. Because Damien Abraham was supposed to be a going for a walk segment, right?
But
it was such a killer interview that we actually use it as the main interview.
Yeah, and you said you'd been really branching out and going for a walk. Much better and more responsible and, I'm looking forward to this.
I think you're misquoting me. It's better, but I don't know about responsibility. So this is I don't know if you know the quarterback Tom Brady.
Yeah, this is the kneeling.
That was somebody else.
Okay,
Tim Tebow. That was Tim Tebow.
Okay,
this is America's team. No, it's not. That's the Cowboys. This is the Patriots quarterback. Tom Brady, who's working for the team, whose coach was a Trump supporter, and as was the president. Trump loves the Patriots. They are shit, and I'm a Steelers fan, and Tom Brady is a good old boy,
American hero.
Yeah, but he's picture perfect. He doesn't eat nightshade plants. He doesn't eat aubergines, eggplants. He doesn't eat potatoes. You know, he's just
because
too goddamn
of the devil
pure.
Or something.
He's too pure.
Oh right,
he's too pure. So somebody at an OTT show actually was wearing a Tom Brady shirt, and Tom Brady, when he won the last Super Bowl, to everybody's nightmarish horror, said he's like, I can't wait to go home and kiss my son, to which Twitter absolutely
just
erupted.
Fucking went mad. Yes.
So I approached this fella on this going for a walk, and let's check it out. Let's go for a walk.
I'm going for a walk.
Sorry, man. I'm sorry to bother you, but you're wearing a Tom Brady shirt.
Yeah.
And does it mean you want to kiss your son when you get home?
He's a loving father.
What inspires you to wear a Tom Brady shirt before you leave the house, in general?
Fuck off.
I'm going for a walk.
So yeah, there you go, buddy.
Asking the questions, you know, that need to be asked.
You said you've been doing so much better, so much more responsible with going for a walk, and there you are. There's the fruits of my improvement.
Look, that was avant-garde. I'm more of that.
Right, okay. You're into that one.
Yeah.
You don't want Damien Abraham to fucked up and turned out a punk podcast. You want me going up to the guy with the Tom Brady shirt and saying, "What's your fucking problem, you asshole?"
I was already wildly complimentary about the other interviews.
Oh, no. I'm just saying, like, if you had to pick.
But don't make me choose.
I want both. All right, we have to. I'm feeling the hairs on my arms are actually. I'm looking in the light of my high tech PC monitor, and I notice that they're standing on edge a little bit. They're standing on end.
You got a skin disease?
No, it means that spirits are near, Toby.
Oh shit!
It's approaching the midnight hour, and the kind of scary things start to happen around me.
My lower haunch is getting a chill.
my nether regions are tingling. It means that spirits are nearby and are, you know, arguably our friends, but quite possibly malicious, Toby. I'm never sure precisely how to cope with
can
this
ghosts
whole
change their minds? Are they like, I've had enough time being
stuck in it with
a certain
attitude? Is that it?
Yeah. It's like, I'm a bad ghost. It's like, can you change your mind? No.
No, I've been a bad ghost for a long time, and I've turned a new page. Yes, I've turned a new leaf.
I'm doing Pilates.
Yeah, I'm running a half marathon, by which I mean I signed up for a half marathon. That.
I'm going to be out of the country for it.
You probably are. What is this Rome trip I keep hearing about that I'm not invited to? I'm raging. Is it just for scientists?
I'm going for a conference, and my brother and my family are coming along as well.
I'm not allowed. Okay, I'm not allowed. It's fine. Nina just went off to Boston. I wasn't invited to that either. I got to get used to the fact that I just don't get invited to things. Folks, it is the witching hour. No matter what time of day you are listening to this podcast, it has gotten dark. And it has gotten misty, and you are about to hear the news of the unsettling, folks. That's right. It is time for the segment that we, from time to time, refer to as...
The Scary News.
You can't see it, but I'm staring at Toby with my eyes really wide. Oh, boy. How are you feeling? Are you afraid?
Worried. I'm definitely worried. But fear is creeping up.
Oh.
Maybe another couple of bars of that music and I'll be like, wah!
Right. That is understandable. All right. So, and by the way, here's something a bit frightening. We were supposed to have the Bull Bay on the show, but he could not make it because he has a busy life. And he's not coming to Ireland just to be a guest on Unfixed.
And he was killed.
No, he's fine.
Oh.
But he couldn't make it. And so every segment and every audio clip that I have is called The Bay Show. So it's like, this is Scary News Bay. There's Damien Abraham Bay, Going for a Walk Bay, and he's not here. So shouts out to Bay. We're going to get him in the studio soon enough, and we're going to make that happen. In the meantime, Toby, it is time for the Scary News.
Roll it out.
All right. There are scenes in Scary British Animal Rescue. This is a two-parter. Just 1 week apart, two unsettling animal rescue scenes unfolded in Britain. On April 3rd, the RSPCA said Animal Collection Officer Michael Harrington responded Saturday night to Northview Drive in Westcliff-on-Sea, Essex, on a report of a deadly tarantula loose on the streets. Indeed, a case of a feral tarantula terrorizing the British neighborhood. The British animal rescuer rushed to the residential road in the middle of the night to rescue a loose tarantula, only to discover that it had turned out to be a plastic toy replica of a tarantula.
Literally inches tall.
Just 1 week later, April 10th, animal rescuers in Britain received a call regarding a fox that was so diseased and ill and decrepit that it had collapsed underneath a bush. RSPCA Inspector Ellie Burt said she was summoned Monday to a home in where the hell is this? Hold on, let's get the scary news scientists on the job here. What's the deal? Where are you guys when I need you? All right. Oh, it's Extra Devon. I'm sorry. It was just from dispatch. Extra Exeter.
Exeter.
Exeter Devon to assist the crippled and ailing fox.
Oh, still alive.
As it turns out, it was not, in fact, sick, but had been stuffed full of sawdust and other filling materials and was, in fact, a piece of taxidermy. 2 weeks. In the same 2 weeks, somebody called the animal control on a plastic tarantula in the road and a stuffed fox under a bush. What's going on with your country? Fuck Brexit. Yeah. I want to talk about that. That's what's happening.
I wasn't going to bring it up, but people are going crazy. They're stockpiling. They're prepping.
I don't know if you know, but cheese can be scary if there are too many kinds at once.
Is there more to that story? Oh, right.
No, we're done. In fact, that's the scary news. Thank you so much for tuning in to Unfix. No, there is more. If there's too much cheese, it is frightening. Australian pizza chef broke a Guinness World Record by putting together a pie with 154 varieties of cheese on the top. Johnny DeFrancesco, bullshit, chef at 400 Grady in Melbourne, formerly held the Guinness World Record for greatest variety of cheese on a pizza when he created a 99 cheese pizza, which upside down is a 66 cheese pizza. But he lost the record when someone else upped the cheese content to 111 varieties. The chef decided to recapture the record with 154 cheese pizza. All right. Well, the 150 cheese pizza may not have been a culinary impossibility. It was certainly a culinary challenge.
Can't beat 150 cheese pizza.
We knew it was an ambitious idea, but probably more so than the first anticipated, DeFrancesco said. We also need to be sure each individual cheese was distinct enough from the next, yet complementary to each flavor, and could blend really well together once combined, he said. The cheeses included the likes of Gorgonzola, Porcino, Taleggio, aged cheddar, Gouda, and of course many more. The chef said the cheesy pizza was a hit with customers and sold a total of 797 in just 5 days. We're about to get out of here. The scary news is almost over. There's one more.
But that was terrifying. A cheese pizza. Oh,
so many cheeses. Way too fucking many cheeses, and I'm not down. One more, then we're going to add you. A satanic goat appears in cemetery. April 5th. Police in New Jersey responded to an unusual call Friday morning to capture a loose goat spotted wandering around a cemetery. The Ridgewood Police Department said the goat was spotted at Vallow Cemetery at 8:15 a.m., and officers determined it had likely been abandoned by someone who apparently left it in a box that had been found nearby. New Jersey. Hey, you don't get a goat roaming the cemetery every day. Lieutenant Glenn Elder tore the New Jersey record. Edna said the goat is not believed to have been intended for any ritualistic purposes in the cemetery. But further speculation suggests that the goat was in fact in the cemetery for multiple satanic ritualistic black masses that have summoned Lucifer himself. The end times are upon us. All right.
Well, and a nice goat stew, I suppose.
You know? Or, you know, whatever. But keep the box. You have to keep the original packaging.
Otherwise, the goat back to the shop.
No, it's not worth shit if you don't have the original packaging. I'd like to thank anybody who can hear the sound of my voice. There's no point in doing all this if there's no one who listens.
Yeah, and thanks to our special live showering guest, Pierre Breton.
Pierre Breton went above and beyond. Space Monkey, ready to sacrifice himself for the greater good. Into the shower. Thank you to the producer, Nina. Oh, shit, tell me before I totally forget. There was a couple comments coming in from the audience. Holy God, we're almost too late. There was a comment that said that it's possible that Shower Talk might... I'm sorry, that Unfix might be peaking with the live Shower Talk. And then also a listener mentioned that they heard Pierre's belt buckle open and was alarmed by that.
We attempt to bring you the sauciest and yet most reserved shower conversations.
It is the best of the best. Thank you again to Damian Abraham for taking time to doing an interview with me. Like he says at the end of shows, you've got to get out there and make your own culture. Culture is like, it's not made by corporations and nameless, faceless, you know, organizations. It's people. And so if you're interested, get out there and shake it up. Yeah, he inspires me, and I hope that I hope we inspire you.
Yeah.
To listen to this show, Unfixed. We're going to be back soon enough, I think. We're going to be back in the
Yeah, next time right? I'm in the country.
Super. Or you're going to come in just to do the show, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, or I come to you, which is hard.
One way or the other.
All right, so thanks for tuning in, and we'll get the hell out of your hair. Thanks for spending some time with us. Good night.